Hi, Andrew. They were giving me the flag that I had. I wasn't hot anyway. That's why there's a fan on up here to keep me from getting hot. Anyway, so nobody is perfect. And you're looking at the greatest example of that. Nobody is perfect, but quite often, you know how it is. Things get changed in transferring from the handwritten to the typed out. That should be Joshua 23. Joshua 23. And I think most of you have found it by now. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers and said unto them, I am old and stricken or advanced in age. And you have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off even unto the great sea westward, which of course would be the Mediterranean Sea. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and you shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous and keep and to do, pardon me, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave or stay obediently unto the Lord your God, as you have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. I trust the Lord will add his blessing to his word. Let's remain standing for prayer, shall we? Father, we do want to thank you for the privilege that's ours to gather today. We thank you for a country like ours that still has this freedom. We thank you for these who made the choice today to come and worship you and to gather with fellow believers in the name of the Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to speak to our hearts. We are thankful for the time already spent here. And we pray that as our service time continues, that you would have the freedom to speak to our hearts, that we would hear what it is you want us to hear, and that we would respond accordingly. We thank you, Lord, that you give us this opportunity. We pray, Lord, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of you. We pray especially for our nation. We pray, Lord, as we think of the election in just 2 days, we thank you that your word teaches us that you raise up and take down. You establish individuals in positions of power and leadership and by the same token, you take them away. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are all-powerful. We thank you, Lord, that you are going to accomplish that which is best for us and is going to bring you the most glory. We just commit that to you. We thank you in our Savior's name. Amen. And you may be seated. On Tuesday of this week, our nation will be collectively casting a vote for the candidate of their choice. It is an important vote, to be sure, because the outcome of this Tuesday's election is going to determine, among many things, but of course the main one is who will be the next president of the United States of America. Who's going to be our leader? But you know, as important as that vote is, there is no vote as important as the vote or choice that each person must make each day regarding who will they serve that day. Who will they allow to be the master of their lives? Who is going to control them? Who will they pledge their allegiance to? I invite you today in our message this morning to look at a time when God's people were asked to make such a choice. We want to turn today, we're going to be in Joshua 23 and Joshua 24 as we think of our message title, Who Will You Choose? And let's see, first of all, the direction he gave. The direction he gave, and I'm referring to Joshua. As far as the occasion of this message, as far as the occasion of this time in Israel's history, we read a moment ago in our scripture reading, we saw that Joshua was nearing the end of his life. Once again, notice, it tells us that he called in verse 2 for all the leaders of Israel, their elders, their heads, their judges, their officers, and he said unto them, I'm old and stricken or well advanced in age. This was not a call to the nation as a whole. This was a call to the leaders of the people, and they were listed by those different designations. And we find that as he called them, he was faithful to encourage them as far as how God had taken care of them. You've seen all that the Lord your God has done unto all these nations because of you. You know how blessed we are. You've seen what God has done. And notice he says in verse 3, the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. We like to take credit for things that we do, but time and time again we know that the leaders of the children of Israel was faithful to remind them that the success they enjoyed was not because of anything they could take credit for. God had given them what they have. Do you know that that is true as far as your life and mine today? We have so much. We are blessed with so much in this nation. We are blessed with so much personally as we think of our lives. Many, many times I am just struck with the realization how fortunate we are in this nation to have what we have. How many of you have ever had to go without meals in your life? I have neither. How many of you have never had a place to lay your head and to have protection over you or around you when you laid down to sleep? I have neither. But you know, there are, even in our own country, there are many that are less fortunate than we. But you know, when we compare what we as a nation have in comparison to some of what we refer to as third world countries, hasn't God blessed us? Don't we have more than we could ever deserve? Certainly more than we could ever need or use. So many times when I go to the table, I look at that table and you go to the table and you just know there's going to be food there. Now, I know that's her job, but I also know that God has provided us so much that she goes to the pantry and there is so much to choose from. We can't take credit for that. God has been good to us. Just like Joshua was reminding his people, the leaders of Israel, God has been so good to us. God has fought for us. God has brought us to this place that we now enjoy. And so as he continued reminding them of that very thing, drop down to verse 14 in chapter 23, and he says, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass, and not one thing hath failed thereof." We could say that same thing, couldn't we? With Israel of old, how many of you have ever seen God unfaithful? How many of you have ever seen God break His word? How many of you have ever seen God disappoint people by proving Himself to be totally unreliable? No. Our God is a faithful God. Our God cares for us. Our God provides for us. And He loves us. And He cares for His own. And that's what Joshua was reminding them, encouraging them in God's faithfulness. But then we also see in this direction that he gave them our first point. As we go on into chapter 24, we see that he was urging them to rightly respond to the Lord. In light of all that God had done for them, chapter 24, let's notice 14 and 15. "Now therefore, fear the Lord." That makes sense, doesn't it? When we think about how Joshua has spent these previous verses and even previous verses in chapter 24 reminding how faithful God has been, we've just not taken the time to look at that. But Joshua has laid out his argument before them, and now he is bringing them to what would be a right response, that which would make sense, that which would be expected. "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood," or that's actually, we find Bible scholars refer to this as the Jordan River, which was overflowing its banks when they crossed it to enter into the promised land. And he says, and serve ye the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you right now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so we see the direction he gave and the urging upon the nation. He urged them to make a decision. He urged them to make a choice. Just like Tuesday, if you haven't voted yet, hopefully each one of you that have not yet cast your vote in an absentee ballot, you're going to go. You're going to exercise that freedom. You're going to exercise that right to cast your vote. You say, what good is it? It's good. It's good. You cast your vote. I'm not going to be happy with whatever the outcome is. Cast your vote. We have no guarantee that one day we might not wake up and discover that we're like many, many nations. Many people do not have the privilege of casting their vote like we have in this nation. They are told what's going to take place. And so you've got your little bit of political, urging there. You get out and vote Tuesday if you have not done so. Pray about the results, but cast your vote. Hopefully you have some ideas of who would be the best one to cast your vote for. All right, and that's about all you can say from a pulpit in this day and age. You just vote your conscience, okay? There you go. So Joshua, he urged them as he was calling these folks together. And oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, when he urged them to make that choice in chapter 24, verse 15, you look at 24:1, he now had called all the people to him. 24:1 says, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. And then he called for their elders and leaders and so on, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, verse 2. So we see that context has changed, but Joshua is still reminding them of God's faithfulness and encouraging them to make a right choice. Let's see, secondly, after the direction he gave, let's look at the decision they made in verses 16, 17, and 18. What was it that he suggested to them? If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the Jordan, that flooded river over there, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, and there were idolatrous people all around them. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But you must choose, he says in verse 15. So let's look, secondly, at the decision they made. The thing that caught my attention as I was looking at this is that without any hesitation, the people answered that their choice would be to reject that which was false and be faithful to the Lord God. We commend them for their decision. We commend them for their choice. Look at verses 16 through 18. And the people answered and said, of chapter 24, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, slavery. And he's the one that did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And we know that had taken over 40 years under Moses' leadership before Joshua ever took over. And now Joshua, for many, many years, has been leading the people, and now he is an old man. Leader, it's about time for leadership to change. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. I mentioned a moment ago, we commend them for their decision. We commend them for their choice. You know, even today we rejoice when we hear of a person who chooses to really move in the direction of the Lord with their life and to turn their back on the sinful things of the past. We rejoice when one repents of the wrongs and declares the intention to go in a new direction. We often praise the Lord for that. And oftentimes we have perhaps young people, individuals go to camps, they go to retreats, and they come back and they share with us how they've made a choice, they've made a decision to turn to the Lord, to serve the Lord, to make those changes and turn their back on that which was wrong in the past. But as we think about the decision that they made, Joshua's next words highlight the significance of such a desire and intention that they voiced. For I want you to look at verses 19 and 20, and we just call this, thirdly, some details to consider. Details to consider. They've just said, God forbid that we serve those false gods. We want to serve the Lord. We rejoice when we hear of some young people or others that God's spoken to their hearts and they say, you know, things are going to be different. I have a new desire for the Lord. But you know, I think we too need to consider some things that Joshua calls to their attention here in verses 19 and 20. Let's notice, first of all, the seriousness of such a decision. The seriousness of making such a choice. You say, well, it sounds like maybe they shouldn't have made that choice. No, that's not what I'm suggesting. What I'm suggesting is that is a very serious choice for a person to make. For a person to tell the Lord, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to serve you. Things are going to be changed in my life. I wonder how many of us realize how important that is, how serious that is for us to say that to the Lord. Why? Because in verse 19, Joshua told them, he said, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. What does he mean, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God? He reminded them of God's character, that God is holy. And what Joshua was reminding them of, that because he is holy, God is separate from sin. There can be no sin in God's presence. And they needed to understand that to choose the Lord meant that they were to be done with the sin of the past. I fear that today we underestimate how serious our sin is. You see, we like to come back with, yes, but I'm forgiven, praise the Lord. I know there's sin in my life, but I thank God that my salvation is secure and I'm not going to lose my salvation in Christ, because God is a loving kind, God of loving kindness. Too often, I'm afraid, we try to live as though sin is no big deal in the eyes of our God. But you know, Joshua was telling them, really this was some of those words to really just shock them in their face. When they had said, oh, we'll serve the Lord, God forbid that we, said Joshua came back to them, do you realize what you are saying? God is a holy God, and if there's going to be sin in your life, he's not going to tolerate it. You even look at that in verse 20 when he says, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt or bring injury upon you and consume you after he has done all this good unto you. Joshua said, be careful what you are saying. Don't just let the lips fly. Oh, of course, we're going to serve the Lord. And you know, I would ask that each of us really stop and think. What's our attitude towards sin? Well, I know I'm forgiven. And I know it displeases him, but nobody is perfect, but. Well, Joshua reminded them, first of all, the seriousness of it as he reminded them that our God is a holy God. Secondly, we see the seriousness when he pointed out in verse 19 that he is a jealous God. He is a jealous God. What do you mean? What does he mean by that? What I mean is, if you were here a couple of weeks ago or so, we had a message and we repeatedly kept talking about the terms of serving the Lord. Remember, we used this phrase, all or nothing? Remember hearing that? That's exactly what Joshua is reminding the people. If you're going to say you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to serve him with all you are and all you have, because God, because he is a loving God, he will not share your affection or devotion with anyone or anything else. May I say that again? Our God is holy, and our God is a jealous God. Yes, he's a loving God, but he will not share your love with anything or anyone else. Joshua said, you need to choose. You need to make a choice. Either you're going to be, you just keep on serving that, the sinful, wrong things of the past that our forefathers served, and or even these people that are around us, you know, your next door neighbors. Maybe you want to do some of the things that they're doing, and well, you know, you want to just be friends with them. You got to be careful, because God will not share your love with that which is false, that which is sinful. As we think about this, we realize that when our Lord was here, He reinforced that on more than one occasion, such as in Matthew 6:24, when He said, and I quote, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to or be loyal to the one and despise the other." It's all or nothing, one or the other. And the Lord mentioned that on more than one occasion. And so we think of the details to consider. The details to consider this third point that, and Joshua reminded them, this is serious. But now let's notice he said, let me call your attention to some specifics. If you're going to serve the Lord, you need to understand who you're dealing with, a holy God who will have nothing to do with sin, and because He is a jealous God, will not tell you it's okay if you want to hang on to a little bit of worldliness in your life. I know you really put forth a good show on Sunday. You know, it doesn't matter what you do the rest of the week. No, He's a jealous God. It's all or nothing. And Joshua said, let me give you some specifics. So we go back to chapter 24, verse 14. If I want to serve the Lord, please the Lord, honor Him, what's He say? Now, therefore, because of who God is and His faithfulness, fear the Lord. What is this fear that we're talking about? This is not terror or dread. This is that reverential trust and respect for who He is. Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, the writer of Proverbs tells us. That's the smart thing to do, beloved. Fear the Lord. That's the good starting point. Make sure I am giving God the right place, respect, reverence for who He is. That's what this term says. Secondly, we notice He mentions in verse 14, and serve Him in sincerity and truth. What's that? Let your actions speak just as loudly as your words. It's easy for us to mouth our love and our loyalty to the Lord, but let's make sure that our actions coincide with. That's sincerity and truth. If we say one thing, but in reality that's, you know, I said that because that's what I expected them to say at church, or expected to, they'd want to hear that at church, or when I was talking to Deacon so-and-so. No, we serve Him in sincerity. That's genuineness. Following through and in truth. Nothing false about it. We keep our word. We do what we say. And notice as we go back to verse 14, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Put away anything which is wrong, anything which is sinful, anything which you know is dishonoring to the Lord. He had said that back in, he says it later on in that 24th chapter. Look at verse 23. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are, Now he said, among you. Back in 14, he said, which your fathers served. He gives us a little, it makes it a little more personal in verse 23, as obviously Joshua knew that some of these people, what was going on behind the walls of their tents that they were living in, or behind the walls of the houses that they were living in now, in this land that they had been given by God. He knew there were idolaters there. He knew there were those that were still hanging on to the ways of the world. And he says, get rid of them. Put them away. Strange gods which are among you. That meant that that required immediate attention. You know, there is no time like the present to serve the Lord. There is no, and even in his call, his urging in verse 15, what was his words? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Don't say, well, I want to go home and think about it, and I'll decide in a day or two. No, it was that day. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And here in verse 23, you get rid of these strange gods which are among you. And then in verse 23 of chapter 24, he says, and then incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Incline your heart. That means to bend or to turn one's own heart unto God and his commands. Bend your heart toward God. There have been so many times over the years that I know I have suggested to us, and I call your attention here. Joshua did not say, God will bend your heart in the right direction so that you will follow through and serve him. I have said so many times, spirituality is no accident. If you want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, if you want to be more spiritual, to the glory of the Lord and in the things of the Lord, it is no accident. It takes your involvement and mine. And we see the involvement. Get rid of, put away from, be truthful, be sincere. Approach God with the right attitude and bend your heart in the direction of God and his word. How often are we supposed to do that? Oh, I went forward, it was 3.5 years ago when we had some special meetings, and I went forward and I just dedicated my life to the Lord. I'd like to suggest to you that if you want to really live in a manner that is pleasing and honoring to the Lord, and as Joshua is inviting the people, this day you choose. May I suggest that is a choice that you need to make and I need to make every day when we get up in the morning? You say, well, I dedicated my... That's right. Praise God. That's the foundation stone. But now we must build upon it every day. Every day it is a renewal. Lord, this is a new day. The victories of yesterday, they're past. I face today new challenges, new situations. I yield myself to you today. I want to walk in your ways. I want to stay away from that which is not pleasing and glorifying and that which is sinful. Lord, help me. This is my heart's desire. Every day. Every day, whether you realize it or not, you choose, you make a choice who you're going to serve that day. You're going to serve yourself, or you're going to serve the Lord. And so we find, as we look at fourthly here, the decision they repeated and completed. They repeated it. They after listening to Joshua, notice verse 21 of chapter 24. After he had talked to them about the seriousness of telling God they were going to serve him, and he reminded him of the nature of God and how God is a holy God and a jealous God, and they needed to really ask his help, make sure that in sincerity, they don't look lightly at sin. We see they responded, verse 21, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." Joshua said unto the people, "Well, you're witnesses against yourself that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses. We mean what we say." It was then that he said, "Put away these things, these strange things, and incline your heart to God." And so in verse 24, they said, "The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." And so Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And he wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And then he took a great stone, set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God." So we find that they repeated their decision. They declared they understood the terms, and they said, "We want to serve the Lord. We will be faithful to the Lord." Joshua wrote it all down in a book, and he said, "This stone heard it. This is a witness." Anytime you come and go down this street and you see that stone, remember your words, remember your commitment. Well, how did they do? How did they do? Look at verse 31. "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." How did they do? They keep their word, or didn't they? They kept their word. All the days of Joshua was about ready to die. You say, "Yeah, but what about all the elders that outlived him?" Those people there that had made that commitment kept their word. Will you? Is that your intention? Do you keep your word concerning your desire to serve the Lord? I invite you to turn with me to Judges chapter 2 for some real insight, though. Judges chapter 2, and notice in verse 7. Here we see again more record of the fact that these people did keep their word. "The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old." Give them credit for that. But notice, drop down to verse 10. "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers." That living generation that knowingly made that choice to serve the Lord. What happened when they died off? Verse 10. "There arose all that generation were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which the Lord had done for Israel. And what did they do? Verse 11, they immediately began to turn to that which was false, that which their forefathers had put aside. This is a scary portion of Scripture, beloved. This is a scary portion because we realize that in one generation, the things of the Lord can be lost. That which was important for the generation that was alive when Joshua and the elders were there, it was important to them all of their lives, but their children did not catch the vision. Their children did not follow in their ways. What a responsibility this puts upon us as parents. I'm reminded of back in Deuteronomy, Moses said these words, you are to write these words on the doorposts and on the walls so that, and on the gateposts, so that as you and your children pass by them, you are reminded of the words of God. What happened with that generation? The younger ones came up, no interest in God. This is one of the things that even as a board we talk about what's happening with the young people that have come through the ranks here. All the years of Sunday school, Awana, all the books passed, trophies earned. And where is their interest now in the things of the Lord? Truth of the matter is, every person needs to choose whom they will serve. Mom and Dad cannot choose for Johnny and Susie. Regardless of how much Mom and Dad's heart aches for Johnny and Susie, truth of the matter is Johnny and Susie will make their own decision. How it behooves us as parents, grandparents, leaders, Sunday school teachers, Awana leaders, that we are setting a good example, that we are living before them reality so that the reality they see in Mom and Dad or that teacher, that Awana worker, I want that in my life. I want that too. They've got something that's real. I want that. You see, the significance for us is in point number 5. The significance for us, what choice have you made? Who owns you? For whom do you live? What have you done with Christ? I know most here have accepted Him as your own personal Savior. Praise the Lord. Are you living for Him? I know He's your Savior, but is He your Lord and Master? Who do you serve day in and day out? Is the Lord just a byword, or is He truly the one that calls the shots in your life? If you've never trusted the Lord as your own personal Savior, today would be a good day. Today would be a great day. In just a moment, we're going to be gathering around that which reminds us of what you say, well, what's so important about Christ? You listen. You observe. The bread reminds us that His body was broken for you and me because in His own self bear our sins, in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. By His stripes we can be healed. And He shed His blood, and the cup reminds us of that. And you too can have that forgiveness if you would just accept and put your faith and trust, your belief in the finished work of Christ. Shall we close in prayer? Thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us this opportunity to consider the important issue of who is going to be the Lord of our lives. Like Israel of old, their leader brought them to the point where he said, you need to make a choice. You must decide for yourself. I've made a decision for me and my house. But Lord, help us to realize each one of us must make a personal decision concerning whether we're going to accept Christ as our Savior and live for Him or not. Life or death, right or wrong, these are issues at stake. Speak to any heart that may be listening here or abroad over the internet, Lord. Bring any lost ones unto you. Thank you and praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. Number 399, as the men come forward, is a song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. Have you? Let's stand as we sing, and the men that are helping me serve will join me up front. 399.